told you I do this shit for Vegas. About to shut the world down. World domination.
What's going on, people? We are back at it again with the High Buttenders podcast. It is me, Jarrell, and you know I got my road dog, my partner in crime, Rocky. What's the deal?
What is the deal, Jarrell?
Oh, man, it's all good.
You know what this reminds me of? Every time I come into this little area and I see people and we're just talking or whatever, is like the old, like, 50s news, you know, yeah. People are smoking.
Yeah.
You know, they have their, you know, pal mouths.
Breaking news.
Shit. Yeah, yeah. Breaking news.
That's when they can smoke cigarettes on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's old
school. Dude, what is up in Vegas? We've got a bunch of new things that have happened and come about in cannabis. One of them being a few cultivations have made their way
yeah. through. A few good ones.
A few That's really good ones.
Yeah, 100%.
Yes. Yep. So I guess what, from a sustainable practice portion of situations, a lot of people have questions, right? They're like, how... Where am I getting this cannabis from? Now is now a big question. It used to be, where do I get the cannabis? And now it's, where did you get this from? So as legalization happens, people get more accustomed and they grow more, like, knowledgeable about cannabis. So they talk about terpenes. What's inside of this? You know, what are the terpenes? And, you know, how much of the – not so much anymore about the percentage of THC, but it's still there.
A lot, yeah, unfortunately.
It's still a topic, right? And just people are not – they just don't really understand. They'll see, like, a Gorilla Glue number 4, and they'll be like, what the hell did the number 4 have anything to do with fucking cannabis at all? And I had that question many times. So we did a lot of discussion on pheno hunting and stuff like that. But I just think that with all the new cultivations coming in and a lot of new different things happening, it's good to identify what cultivations are doing.
Yeah.
And where, you know, how, what their grow method is. And I think that those things are important now to a lot of people, to me, for sure. Just because there's a lot of different practices and ways of growing your cannabis.
Yeah.
And it happens right here in Vegas. So I think that we brought on the right people for this podcast. 100%. Because I would like to know a little bit more about their grow practices. And because let me tell you, the fucking weed is great, Jarrell. Don't take that effing out. Keep that effing right in that. The weed is really, really good. So I'm very, very happy to bring on Tyler and Ryan from Kushberry Farms. Welcome, gentlemen.
Welcome,
how
welcome.
Are you guys
Thank
this evening?
You guys. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're super pumped to be here.
Excellent.
No, absolutely. We're pumped to have you because I've been personally seeing the brand all over different dispensaries. Especially, we were talking earlier about the most popular strain, the Dutch Hawaiian. So I'm excited to get you guys on just to give you a chance to introduce the brand to the people. Tell them what you're all about and what sets you apart from different cultivators.
Man, well, first of all, we are locally owned. We're not like some big MSO. We're not some big group that's with a national brand trying to come in and kind of take over and just, you know, make a bunch of money off people buying weed. Excuse me. No, we came in local... attorneys, medical professionals, a lot of guys that have like a real passion for cannabis, real users of cannabis. You know, I'm a daily user. My CEO, Dallas Horton, he's a big attorney in town. He's a big proponent of cannabis. You know, I firmly believe that it's, you know, the key to solving mental health,
yeah.
You know, for the world. You know, if we can just understand it more and understand, you know, how to properly use it, I think it's going to change more lives than we can count. But really what separates us is, look, we're a greenhouse. We want to do cannabis the way cannabis is supposed to be done. We want to grow it under the sun. We want to make have an efficient brand and business model using the greenhouse, using sunlight. We're constantly looking at different methods to get creative on a scientific side so that we can bring our overall cost down so that we can keep giving the best possible quality to the consumer at a very approachable, reasonable price.
Now, most people that live in Vegas are going to be like, how the hell is that working out? How are they doing greenhouse in Vegas?
It's a struggle. It's definitely not an easy thing. Like Tyler alluded to, it's the most sustainable practice for growing cannabis. I've grown a lot of indoor weed. I came from an indoor growing background. And unfortunately, in this marketplace and probably in future marketplaces, it's just not as sustainable financially for a company. You need to be able to utilize the things that are there for free, which... sunlight and the air itself, the ambient air itself. Our if we are a greenhouse, we share the environment with the outside air. It is tough in the winters. It's tough in the summers. Two times a year on the shoulder seasons is great, though. We have great years in fall and in the spring. We're trying to figure out how to kind of make that go all the way throughout the entire year. Right now, we're our second full calendar year of growing. We've had our ups and our downs, but we're coming into our third year, and we have a game plan for both the winter and the summer extremes. In the winter, we're going to figure out how to keep our heat in the rooms, which really isn't the problem. It's about dehumidification. Once you're closing these big greenhouses up, there's a lot of humidity that needs to be taken out. I can't do the normal thing that a greenhouse would do, which was just push the air right out the back because it's freezing cold in the winter out here, down in the 20s and 30s. So we're just learning as we go, trying to take what we know as cannabis cultivators and push this into a more efficient growing method and model.
You know, he brings up a good point about the weather and the environment. I would say our weakness is battling with the environment.
Yeah.
Cloudy
yeah.
days.
Unpredictability.
Days. Yeah. 100% unpredictability. But our strength is having that outside environment because that sun comes in, and that's what gives you the maximum flavors. That's what gives you the terpenes. Like, we have FOS LEDs, high top-of-the-line LED lights. We just put them up in our facility. But believe me, that's not what's going to change us and change our direction. We're going to use that to our advantage in the winter to bring us a little bit more light when we have cloudy days. But we know our advantage at the end of the day is maximizing that sunlight.
Yep. Did you go in knowing that the sunlight will give you like those better outcomes as far as like terpenes and things, or was it something that you found out after?
I went in knowing sunlight. I mean, you can read it anywhere. Science has proven like you're just only the sun is going to get you that full spectrum of growth on the plant. And even I was so far into that mindset that I even refused to get LEDs because I was like, hell with LEDs. Like it's everybody keeps saying LEDs are great. And they've become fantastic now. But, you know, just like 5 years ago, it was all, you know, HPS because it's what we all did in our closets and everything, you know?
Yep.
I mean, you could ask Ryan. I mean, he was hitting up street lamps.
it's the truth though. You know, that's how you learned is you started to take things that weren't yours and start to put these pieces together, and you become a little bit of a MacGyver in some of these things. Fast forward 15, 20 years now, and it's that same mindset that's helping us succeed in our path right now, is because nothing's easy for us. Everything's a struggle. Everything needs to be pieced together as we go. And knowing that it's not certain and it is going to be a battle and a challenge is not doesn't make us uneasy. Like we were talking, kind of referenced earlier, I like feeling a little vulnerable, a little outside of that comfort zone, because it makes you know you are doing something right. You are doing something special. You're doing something unique. And every day's a challenge, but it's worth it. And, you know, it's worth it because we're going to be able to bring something to the valley that nobody's done before. It's going to be clean, microbially clean, not radiated, nothing that, you know, some of those bad stigmas. It's going to be clean, healthy, grown through by the sun with our natural air, with our natural ambient environments. It's going to be our flower is going to represent Vegas, and we're going to be bringing that to you guys at scale. We're a greenhouse. We're going to keep growing and building.
Is there any methodology to your like strain choices because of the environment that you all are growing in?
Absolutely. Without a doubt, we have to take that into consideration. But we also have to take into consideration what works on our retail side. There's a lot of things. If it was only what worked in the garden, that's kind of what we were talking about earlier, Joe. For me as a cultivator, my whole thing was just growing weed, healthy yielding plants, there's certain strains I would just grow only that and say, well, it's a good healthy yielding plant. It does in this environment, works in this environment. Well, the retail side might want a variety. You're going to want to see a nice, healthy, robust menu. I want to be able to present that to all the buyers and say, hey, I know you got these two or three strains on your shelf because that's all we have, but what about these other three strains? At some point, you can't tell me no because I have such a variety of my menu. So we do have to grow some strains that are a little more difficult, that take a little more of a challenge, but we consider that every single strain we do is, does it work for us? Can we make it work for us? Is it worth it if it doesn't perform like all these other ones because it gives us that extra variety and a unique price point or something like that? Or unique terpene profile even.
Yeah, our Blackberry Kush was sort of recipe. That Blackberry Kush, she was hands down the most beautiful plant we've ever grown. Over and over again. Just like a bonsai tree, the way she grows. Huge colas, just dark, deep purple stalks and stems.
Almost somewhere looked unhealthy. The socks are so purple. It's like that looks like a deficiency. It's like, no, it's just that's how that.
Yeah. And I got like photos where I'm like, it's so vibrant too, colorful at times. Yeah. But we would harvest it. We get nice big nugs, and it would just smell like a berry pie. You know? Mm-hmm. But then you get your COAs, and if you're not hitting 20% and above, the dispensaries just won't pay you enough money on the product, and you just can't get the margin.
But that's crazy because I've smoked under 20% weed before and had it smack me. Yeah. And I smoked 30% weed and felt absolutely nothing.
I go to the dispensaries and I find our stuff, and I'm always buying the lower testing stuff myself.
Because you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. Right. But
breaking news. High THC is not the end-all, be-all when it comes to cannabis. Hot off the presses.
We've been preaching that for years.
Yeah.
In your opinion, like, how do we get that message out? Like, how do we disseminate that?
That is a super loaded question. It is the million-dollar question right now. How do we make the retail side, a company be brave enough to take that stance? Because right now, it's just a business. It's profit margins. In competition with the next guy, literally right down the street, your competitor is trying to sell the same product. So it's such a competitive market. Nobody's really going to be able to step forward and say, hey, I'm going to be brave enough to say, I'm going to not only buy weed on terpene profile, but also like sell it and market it and have it be on the rolling list of what's all about that flower. Not only is it the THC level, but also has the two terpenes, the three terpenes, the best terpenes in there. That would be one of the few steps. It's just so hard. And I'm saying it in like a very bubble-ish kind of way. Yeah. Like that's not a reality. That's not, you know.
We've been trying to educate, though. We're doing a lot of tours. People listening, reach out to us on IG. You want to do a tour, check us out.
Anybody and everybody, come on by. You'll literally have me or Tyler will walk you through our facility anytime.
But part of the reason we do that is we want to connect with the local consumer. I look at this industry, and it resembles a lot of like what I understand from like the wine industry. Where you know people go out to Napa and Sonoma and stuff, and they want to go visit the vineyards and walk through the plants and everything. Like, why aren't we doing that with cannabis? People don't even understand like the beauty of these plants. Yes. I never understood it until we started growing the plants, and I start seeing the different varietals. And you just start it's like looking at different colored roses and carnations and tulips and stuff. And it's just everything has its own unique look and characteristic to it. And then as you start growing it, you also realize that. The different effort that the team has to take to grow that specific plant. Like, that one just drinks so much more. This one, really temperamental to too much heat. And you learn these characteristics. And, you know, at the end of the day, they're like, you know, I've got 800 screaming teenage girls at me in each bay, all wanting kind of different things.
Right.
But I think the guys have done a really good job of trying to like hone in on strains and trying to find like-minded strains, and we're discovering that. And anyway, we bring people in. We like to show them that so that they can kind of connect with you know the agricultural side of cannabis. But also, I tell people all the time, like THC is like an engine. But the terpenes are the steering wheel and driver.
I say that. I use that same analogy. That's crazy.
I've done it too. As a bartender, that was the thing to tell people, because then they would get it.
I tell people, you know, the THC, that's kind of like the engine's going to tell you how fast you're going to get there.
Yep.
But the terpenes are going to tell you which way you're going. Yep. You know what I'm saying? So I use that analogy all the time. Yeah.
It's so crazy. Like, we have stuff that you open it up, like the Dutch wine, and it's got like the tropical flavors. You can get a little bit of like almost like a an orange peel, you know, you almost like start thinking like the waves kind of blowing in like off the coast of Hawaii, and then you open up something like cheesecake, and it's like, damn, like that just like throws you off. I'm like, I'm not even sure, like makes you wonder, like, is that supposed to smell that way?
Yeah.
He says like,
that's that stink real good.
That's that cheese, you know?
And people love that stuff. And that's what's cool about the industry too. And like we let people come in and like, here, smell this. Like, this is what fresh smells like.
There's a real big opportunity, too, especially for the market that we're in. It's in Vegas, where we're able to have consumption lounges to make craft cannabis, where percentage wouldn't be the thing. You're actually selling the terpenes on the product, and while you're getting those smells and teaching people more and educating them on that, so that you can reintroduce your 19s and 18% that you know smack for sure. And that's the problem, is just, you know, people get used to one thing. We're one of the only states that does terpenes, right, on the label.
That's required, yeah.
Right, that's required. So I just think it's not, it's the lack of education. And here's my thing. Like, I would love a craft moment. You know what I mean? Like, I like beer every once in a while, but it has to be a craft beer. I have to, like, you know, I love all the different looks and notes on it. If the bottle has all the information, it makes me very, very excited. And I think that we had an opportunity at this point to start introducing craft cannabis into the industry and, you know, educating people and introducing it through the lounges, really. Yeah.
We deserve it. We deserve to have those conversations. We deserve to talk about the undertones and the richness of it. If I hear one more person describe weed as gas fired, I get it. Like, yeah, like same five words, but really, like Todd was saying, it's a wine. It's way more comparable to a vineyard in that experience. So yeah, I definitely could agree with you, Rock. And I think the consumption lounge idea is a really good idea, because it would just craft would be, like you said, terpenes, not like how much tea. Look at, I've now dipped it in oil, rolled it with keef, put another nug on top. Like, you're not making this like Bloody Mary over the top cocktail kind of weird thing. Like, that's not what I would imagine anybody's talking about. Some people would think that, oh, we're gonna do a session, we're just gonna let's do the heavy. No, it's like, let's actually have all these flavors and not even talk about any of the THC profiles. Let's, or, you know, if we do, we talk about it in conjunction with the terpenes.
That's right. Yeah. Yep.
I think that opportunity should happen pretty soon. It can be like a cultivator or a brand rents out one of the smoking lounges and puts on like an education like session or
get together. But it's regulation. It's regulation. The problem.
Yeah, it can
be. It's where you have to, where, you know what I mean? You have to be in the confine of like.
It can be a public education,
yeah.
But you also get to try it, so you can explain all the different terpenes in this joint. You know, we can explain all the different, you know, the terps and the different effects of the Dutch Hawaiian. Yep. And you can go there and here's a joint for you can take home. And you can explain the next one. So there's opportunities there. I just think nobody's taking advantage of it so far.
There might, like, I think, Rocky, where you're kind of, there's might be a legal hurdle there, where if you could, like, as a brand, us as a company, as a brand, we would want to make sure that we're protecting ourselves.
Of course.
Doing something that we shouldn't be, like, like I used the story, Tyler, when we first started doing this. He goes, so how do I, because he knew immediately, I need to get our flower in the butt end. Yeah. He goes, so do I, can I just like drive down to the and wait till they come out of work and just give them like,
No. That's true.
That was, in the Kushberry packaging and everything.
Dime was out all the way hard, right out the gate. But it was the mindset of like, just already knowing intuitively the way to do this is to get it in the hands of the butt tenders.
Yep.
Because those are, let them, I want them to smoke at this in the morning and then go to work and like, I just hit that shit this morning. It's just fire. Still high.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think that's what's important when you're selling the cannabis. And I think for bud tenders, we're kind of like, bud tenders get bored. They get bored of the same shit. You know what I mean? You have to give them something like they're excited to sell and engage because there's education behind that. And we're not just selling fucking regular items at a grocery store. This is something that changed the effects of people, how they act, and you know what I mean? And for me, I just think that you have to put good money, time and effort into the bud tender, because this is what happens. A lot of the times, the prices get super driven down on really good cannabis, and then that shadows. It's almost like it muddies the waters, right? And nobody knows what's the good cannabis from the bad cannabis or whatever the case may be, but somebody's still going to walk out with $75 an eighth cannabis.
If they get a good bud tender.
From Planet 13.
Yeah, if they get a good bud tender.
Yeah, if they get a good bud tender, that's what's going to happen. So if you educate properly and you get people very, very excited about the products that they're selling in-house and really give them the product and get feedback. Hey, if you're not getting the feedback that you expected from your bud tenders on our product, let us know. But put that product in their hands so that they can try it. Because guess what, man? When we leave out, if we're not educated on that product, we're not leaving out with your product.
Yeah, we're not selling it.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I know a bunch of bud tenders can be like, yeah, that's how I relate to the situation. You know what I mean? And I know that you guys have probably had plenty of run-ins, and I wanted to ask anyway, have you had any issues with, like, regulation and things of that nature when it comes to your cultivation? Not that you guys are doing anything against regulation at all.
No, it's a fair
by
question.
By any means.
It's a very relevant
question. I just think that people have to understand, because here's the thing. I feel like it's an overregulated market.
Yeah.
And I think that that's another part of the reason why we can't sustain as cultivations. When you have a cultivation is because of the fact that those prices are being driven down. You have quality product. You have to go through a bunch of stuff to make sure that that grows properly. Then, you test and you hope to God that you're going to pass on that, cannabis. And if you don't, then you have to think of the ulterior motive. But then at the same time, you've lost thousands of dollars, right? So I'm sure that you have you ever run into any kind of like regulation, like nightmare or anything that you're like?
I think something that a lot of people are talking about right now is the testing. And the testing limits as far as, our flower, we have to test in 5-pound lots.
Mm-hmm.
I got to pay like $300-something a test. You bring down 125 pounds, I mean, that starts adding up. Then your trim, you can test in 15-pound lots. Let me get a good test for, 25 pounds, 30 pounds, so I can minimize my costs. Because those testing fees, they add up. And then the taxes are pretty brutal. We're taxed, every time product leaves our facility, it's like 15%, right, to the state, and it's due right at the end of the month.
Yeah.
And then we have
trials,
distributor costs. Like, we can't even deliver our own stuff without distribution licenses. I can't even give free samples to my staff.
Wow.
That's kind of what's crazy.
That's nuts.
I mean, we do it through
like a pass through. You got to do a pass through.
We still, like you said, have to pay for the delivery cost.
I was about to say, that's another cost.
We still have to package it, send it, go down there and pick it up.
I got to pay taxes on it.
Yeah. They have to go somewhere else to pick it up.
Yeah.
They
have to go out of their job to go somewhere else to pick up.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's there is a way to do it, but it makes it very difficult.
And it's an inconvenience on the dispensary.
Yeah,
that's true. Because they get nothing out of it.
You guys have had prior working patches that are, it's like, no, that would have.
If I want to give everybody like a half ounce of weed, I mean, I need a couple people to go do pass throughs for 20 people.
A lot of shit can happen. Oh my God, so many things happen with trials. Like, they're sold in advance, to move product, and then you're like, that was a trial.
That
was supposed to be for
the language changing. That's another thing is, I mean, the stuff that what was legal 5 years ago was not as illegal now. And the if you were doing work, say, hey, oh yeah, I've worked in Metric, I've done it. It's been 2 or 3 years. Well, you better take all the training all over again, because some of the things you used to do, you can't do. Some of the things you did before are doing it differently. Everything just changes. It's an evolving industry that's constantly moving and changing. You have to be on that, like really, really on that, paying attention all the time, which basically means you need another high-level employee to do that. There's another chunk of salary.
Officer,
exactly, your compliance officers. And these regulations are creating positions that are not, they're high-level positions. They're really, a lot of things hinge on you. Really, the success of your company hinges on that. And it's just another cost adds into the flower. As the price skyrockets down, the harder, and that's kind of, I think, what we're, some of the challenges here.
Oh my God, that's heartbreaking too.
Yeah. And you get audited constantly.
Yeah. Yes.
The CCB, like, you get through an audit, and then before you know it, you're in another one. And so you're constantly, like, at the whim of, please provide this by the end of business today. I'm like, it's 3 o'clock.
Damn,
o'clock.
Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah.
An example, like, and it's silly stuff. Like, an example, like, we had was, these waste logs, master waste log. It's oh no, it all has to be production, cultivation. It's all there. Or like we've got where we create batches of products and like we input it directly into Metric and everything. Well, I have to keep like a paper files as well.
Right.
It's just like a lot of like redundancy.
So unnecessary stuff.
But it's a lot of time taken to say, hey, this little nitpicky thing, I need you to put a response together and everything and get back to me. And it's just, it distracts from us being
working.
Able to do work that's hard enough as it is,
Yeah, it's definitely makes it challenging. That being said, I would definitely say I prefer working in a market like this than back home in, say, California or some of the more legacy-driven markets, because federal legalization or whatever that's going to look like, it's going to be more heavily regulated. It's definitely not going to be loosey-goosey. So
probably
learning to do stuff like this is definitely going to give us a leg up when it does change to that level as well. Yeah. Nice. At least I keep telling myself that.
I'm hopeful. I'm an optimist.
Well, not only that, but I feel like it also opens it up to, like, the kind of craft cannabis that we need to see in the industry, because I feel like cultivations like yours should be highlighted. You know what I mean? The Kush berry portion of it, it does look like a berry. That's how I like my weed to look. It's funny because I always say that. I said, you know, it's very, very big in the industry too, but I love it to look like it's bulbous, right? And it looks full and great. And even when you get, like, the smaller buds, kudos to you guys on that for not doing a stemmy-ass job. I love that. So if you are in Vegas and you're like, hey, should I buy those? Buy those, because they're actually really, really good. And the cannabis, I guarantee, even if it's testing below 20%, which, as you can tell, and you're hearing from this podcast, it's very difficult to have that on the market. Very challenging to have it. So, but if you do, don't be afraid to buy it. Check it out and see what it's all about, because I'm going to tell you, that is a missed opportunity. One of my favorite strains of all time was GLP's strawberry cough. I talk about that shit all the time. Stop it.
It never was a high tester.
And I remember when I first started out in the industry, I'd be like, man, this shit never tested. But I bought it in the Baby J packaging, I was like, you know, if I'm going to do this, instead of paying at the time, I think it was like $70 for that eighth, I was like, let me do these pre-rolls. And it was just amazing flower. Enough for me to pay the additional dollars to buy the
eighth. You know what's funny, Rocky? That's the thing that I hear a lot, is that exact thing where you say it's usually those strawberry, the blackberries, the blueberries. Because it does. The blueberry tastes like blueberry pancakes. The stuff that you would tell me, because it says 14% THC, that you can't pay me. Actually, you could probably put this on the highest shelf, and the people who really, really want that. There's so many people, like, I'll drive all over town if I could find the middle for it. Some high terpenylene strain. Mm-hmm. I'll drive all over. I will waste my gas and drive around all over town to find that 1/8 that I like of this strain. But my THC levels is, so I actually can't grow it as a successful business, because I don't get the profit margin. And you're telling me you would pay topest of top dollar. And I hear that so many times from really sophisticated people who connoisseurs.
Yeah. And that's on the purchasers. Irony. That's on the purchasers and buyers. Yeah.
But also, like, for the consumer, like, there's no sense spending like $40 on an eighth. I mean, you're just not getting anything more. You're paying for branding and a more expensive package and stuff.
For sure.
But going back to, like, even the THC results, we'll take the same strain, same table. I mean, I got to test 5-pound lots anyway, and I'll have different labs testing the same batch from that harvest, and it's just all over the place. It's bananas.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's – what time is it? We got time for the labs?
That's episode two.
So I wouldn't be fooled by what the package is telling you. Taste it. Smoke try that shit.
I challenge you to open a bag of Kushberry Farms flour and tell me you didn't enjoy it. At the price point you got it for, what it was, it's for flavorful. What it is, it's just going to be a good, flavorful flour. We pride ourselves on that smell.
Yeah.
Believe me, you're talking to the two people in the building who are there every day, who are making the real decisions. Everybody works off of how we feel. This is the vibe that the entire staff has, I promise you. Our QC, QAQC team, they knows. Ryan, should I keep packaging this? No, stop. Stop packaging that.
Yeah.
Tyler, does this make sense? No, we're going to take the rest of that and do something different with that. We are constantly looking at that.
And we don't screw around with trim. Our pre-rolls, 100% ground flour. We hand trim them, put it through the grinder, 4-millimeter precise grind, so you get good airflow and everything.
Shout out the Green Bros. I mean,
you're getting a really, really good product.
That's it right there.
But we just want to get it in the hands of people, because we feel like that's how it should be done. And we're putting it out there, and we're giving people a great price on it.
Hell yeah. Man, we appreciate you guys coming on, Ryan and Tyler.
This is fun.
Before we let you guys go, we usually ask, you know, what you've been smoking on lately. But I'm going to switch it up a little bit. I want you to tell people what they should be smoking on. If you had to choose one strand from Kushberry Farms for other people to try, which one would it be?
For me, it's easy. Right now, our favorite strain is cheesecake. Cheesecake, without a doubt. It's got that unique cheese. It's got that funk. It's when we're talking about terpenes and having real conversations about it, you can say a lot of different things about it. You know, that really describe the flavors, the undertones. It's a very unique taste. and it throws you back, man. There's just not a lot of flavors out there that have that real cheesy kind of under cheesy funk to it.
That cheesecake's really funky, and it's heavy too.
It's a hitter. It's a hitter.
It sneaks up on you. It's hard not to shout out the Dutch wine.
Yeah,
Dutch wine is just. I mean, it gives you a great upper to start. It's Stiva. It's a beautiful plant too. Great leaf structure. But that hit of immersing just gives you such a great kind of uplifting and creative body high. You know, and the flavor and smells just kind of just gets you like alerted. You know,
yeah.
Who doesn't like to feel like they can smell the beach?
I can definitely vouch for it. I can vouch for the Dutch wine.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. Yeah. What you been smoking, Rocky?
Kush cake.
Nice.
Hey, that's probably. I'm
gonna tell you guys. Yeah. Go out there. Listen, if you like a really nice stony high, that's your guy for sure. And I'm gonna tell you, I'm one of those people that Mercine. I welcome it in the AM and in the PM. I will function just fine on Mercine. It just makes me feel great. You know what I mean? And so. I love it, and I think it's just
body uplifting.
Body uplifting, yep. It's got a little bit more limonene in there too. You know what I mean? So you still have that nice little mind high going, which is nice. You know what I mean? I love that.
Kush cake's a big winner. It's a great, great flower.
Yeah,
she moves well too.
Yes, yeah. So
we moved that pretty well.
I love it. Hey guys, if anybody wants to find out a little bit more about Kushberry Farms and they're coming into Vegas, what are they? How do they find out where y'all are at?
Real active on Instagram, Kushberry Farms _NV. You can also check us out online, kushberryfarms.com. Yeah, and then we do a little bit on X, Twitter, however you want to call it these days.
We stay real active. Tyler monitors the IG. If you guys want to reach out, like we said before, DM us. We have no problem giving tours. We want to bring out people to the facility. We want you to meet our staff. We want you to come out and see what we do and connect with us on that level. Hit us up.
100%.
Dude, that is one of the best invitations I think we've had on this show. So please do not miss out on a fantastic opportunity. We are always at High Bud Tenders on all things social media, or you can go to www.highbudtenders.com and /podcast to listen to the podcast, /shop to look at some of our really great merchandise. We've had Tosh leveling up on our website. I'm super excited about it, so check out the changes. We would really appreciate it. We always thank you guys for listening. We love our listeners, bro.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
We appreciate
you guys. Thank
you guys
so much. We want to thank you folks for listening. And as always, stay high, bud tenders.
I do this shit for Vegas. About to shut the world down. World domination. World ain't ready for the town. We are in.